On this episode of The Playbook, I have my boy, Colin O'Brady, world record-setting explorer, New York Times best-selling author, and inspirational speaker. And he's going to talk about all this success one step at a time. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook, and I have a new friend of mine, and I think we're going to be old friends even sooner. The one, the only, Colin O'Brady. He is a triathlete, world record holder, New York Times best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and an inspiration to me because he's a philanthropist. He invited me into his beautiful club, the Calendar Club, and that's where I want to start because I got so inspired by what you and Jesse Itzler are doing for charity to give over 10,000 meals to the first responders during this uncertain times. Where did you guys come up with this idea, Colin?
So the Calendar Club, Jesse and I are always kind of just like messing with endurance ideas. We've got this this event series called 29029 where we try to get people to climb the summit of Mount Everest on a ski mountain by basically lapping up and down a ski mountain. And in February, Jesse said, you know what? What if I run the amount of miles per date of the calendar? So, you know, the first of the month, 1 mile, the fifth of the month, 5 miles. And he did it for the entire month of February. And it was amazing. And so I kind of rebooted it for April with the more of, you know, he just kind of did it by himself. A couple people joined him, but I rebooted it and kind of put it out to the world to say like, hey, I'm going to try this challenge. And it's hard, man. Like I've run a lot of miles in my life, but it's 465 miles in the entire month. And the last week you average over a marathon. So it's no joke. You know, the first week we're in it right now, just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles, but put it out to the world to see if, you know, other people wanted to participate in it. With Jesse and I, the idea to say, hey, for everyone that participates every day someone does, we're going to contribute one meal up to 10,000 meals. And the response has been amazing. We've got 1,200 people signed up already from all over the world. People send in videos every day. We got Australia, New Zealand, El Salvador, Brazil, like all sorts of people. And people are putting their own spin on it. Obviously, I want you to share, David, how you were doing it. Because, you know, obviously not everyone can run 465 miles. We don't want people to get injured. And so some people are doing, you know, push-ups every day, planks, but you have probably one of the most creative ways of doing it.
I love it, man. I'm doing yards. But I'm sprinting them and I'm trying to coordinate other people into it, being as creative as I can, also to raise money to give more meals to those first responders as well and raise awareness to the Calendar Club. I love it. It's turned into a family event. Everyone's like in my neighborhood, they come out, kind of watch me in different areas. So I encourage everyone, you know, and whatever you can do, have fun with it. I'm not jealous of your last week. I'm a little bit even worried for me on my last week, and I'm doing
David's videos are so funny. Every day you post them, I repost them on my Instagram. And, you know, most people out there, hey, I ran 6 miles a day, you know, get it. Or I did 6,000 meters on my row machine there for like an hour or something like that. And David with his son is there like, flat sprint, but the first day was like one step. It's so funny. So I can't wait to don't pull a hamstring on that 30-yard sprint at the end there, man.
Oh, man. I do run 3 miles a day beforehand. So I'm getting warmed up in the mornings, but I can't do 465 miles. I'm past those days. Anyway, you wrote a book, The Impossible First, and I love the idea of it because I'm into consistent, persistent behavior. I'm into dreaming big. You know, my dream in life is to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. And I connected the dots backwards. It seems like that idea of being able to take a huge dream and connect the dots backwards, just like the Calendar Club, really has enabled you to achieve world records and things that, you know, nobody thought you could achieve. What is that system that you use to connect it backwards to make these big dreams realities?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the book, it just came out in January. I'm going to hold it up here. It's called The Impossible First, From Fire to Ice, Crossing Antarctica Alone. Humbled by the reception, and it hit the New York Times bestsellers list. It's my first book that I've ever written. And it's about, you know, the book is about my solo crossing of Antarctica. I became the first person ever to cross the landmass of Antarctica solo, unsupported and unassisted. So it's just, you know, no kites, no dogs, just me. And I was pulling a 375-pound sled because I had to have enough food and fuel to make it. Several people had attempted this historically before me and no one had ever completed it in this way. And I became the first. But really, you know, the ethos and kind of what your question is, you know, the book is called The Impossible First. And yes, it is my story, not just about walking across Antarctica, but it loops back throughout my entire life. Lots of failures, lots of obstacles overcome, you know, how, you know, from an entrepreneurial sense, there's an entire chapter in there about how my wife and I just came up with the idea for these world record projects, but we needed money. We needed, you know, we needed sponsorship. We wanted to start a nonprofit, which ultimately our nonprofit has impacted, you know, millions of students around the world, but we had nothing at the time. Like, we literally had nothing. And the actual last line of my book is, and it's repeated throughout, it says, from whiteboard into reality. And it's about writing those goals on a whiteboard in this moment of Jenna and I, my wife and I, sitting in a one-bedroom apartment with nothing, no money, no background, no this, but still believing in the idea, and it outlines the process. And so my goal, you know, with The Impossible First, the book, yes, it's edge of your seat storytelling. You'll enjoy it. You know, it's an entertaining read. But it's not so you set the book down and go, wow, Colin, you're a badass. You set 10 world records. Incredible. Like, any person that sets down the book, the best piece of, you know, encouragement or you know, that I can get after when someone reads it is they put it down and go, I realize now I can achieve my own impossible first. Because I believe whatever it is, music, art, business, entrepreneurship, love, I mean, it can be anything, whatever your, you know, category or vertical is, we all have reservoirs of untapped potential to achieve extraordinary things. And that's really the ethic that I stand by. And I love to bring people in that journey. You know, the Calendar Club is another example of that. It's like, I'm setting myself this massive goal, but it's all about getting that participation and the ripple effects in the community. And I love what you said about even your neighbors, your family, kind of like, you know, following along, the people even in the Calendar Club that are participating. There's a woman today who posted from the UK, and all of a sudden her 10-year-old son was like, hey mom, I want to run 6 kilometers with you today. And he's never been on a run with her before, but he saw what she was doing every day and wanted to participate. And so you never know by sharing your story, whether it's big or small, you know, you have the goal of 1 billion people. I have a goal to have, you know, impact millions of people. But even if you're impacting 1 or 2 of people in your immediate community, that is still incredibly valuable. And I love and I applaud you for doing that in your work.
You know, what's awesome is people think, people like you and I, were about the why, like somehow we were created with some gift of inspiration. I think when even reading your book, what's so interesting is you and I are what people, you know, like a lot of people won't even think of the what. Right.
Yeah.
And then they know their why. Like, your why is the same as mine. It's really to help other people.
Yes.
And we do like cool things about it. And, but if you don't think about what it is, can we talk just a little bit, you know, about how you come up with your what, you know, cause there, that's where I think the inspiration comes from. It's like, well, this guy did this and this and this, but somehow you and your wife come up with a what that ended up with 10 world records. And now the Calendar Club, what? And my mind works the same way. Like, right when you inspired me and I'm like, I can't freaking do that, but I got my own what.
Yeah.
You know, what am I good at? I'm a sprinter, man. I'm a little running back. So what am I going to do? I'm going to do what I do and apply it to your inspiration. What's the methodology that you use? And I think it'll be the most valuable, maybe of all my podcasts, we can tell people, here, this is how I come up with a what, or this is historically how the what happens.
So it's been an interesting evolution for me. So, you know, I'm going to make an artist metaphor, which is, it's kind of been interesting for me. I always thought of myself as an athlete. You know, I was a collegiate swimmer. You know, I never really thought of myself as an artist. It was just kind of like, you know, there's the two different things. Like, I'm not artistic. I can't draw. I can't, you know, that kind of what I think of as art. But then as I built my first project with Jenna, which is like, I want to climb Mount Everest. It was a childhood goal of mine since I was a little kid. I'd read books about it. And that was kind of my what at that time was kind of my first thing. And so I did this big mountaineering world record project, climbed the 7 summits and went to the North and South Pole called the Explorer's Grand Slam. But then not long after that, believe it or not, I'm at Burning Man. I don't know how familiar you are with Burning Man.
Oh, I am. I'm trying to convince my wife to let me go.
Oh man, you gotta go. And I'll tell you why. You know, there you could parody it, you can make fun of it in any ways you want, but I'm at Burning Man not long after my first world record, and all the art pieces at Burning Man, it's, you know, it's this huge art festival, and there's these huge, you know, art installations out in the middle of the desert. but they're not just for looking at. They're actually for touching and climbing and participating with. And I was looking around. I had this moment of clarity where I was like, oh, the art is not the making of the art so someone can look at it like a painting on the wall, but it's putting it out here so everyone else can draw into their own life and participate with it. And it sounds like a little bit of a tangent, but I started thinking, I said, my projects, my what's, are actually art pieces. They're built from this blank canvas. And so my process has been taking a whiteboard and turning that into reality, writing the biggest dream, the biggest goal without sort of failure, saying like, who cares what the obstacles are? Let me write that down and let me turn that into a piece of art. But the impossible first, the Antarctica crossing and how that, you know, is derivative of this idea of me being an artist is I had set world records. I had done things faster than anyone had ever done before, but those are things that had already been done by people. So there was somewhat of a playbook, but a true artist takes something completely unique that's never been done before. And I know a lot of people listening are entrepreneurs, and people who are entrepreneurs oftentimes are trying to solve a problem that has never been solved before, or a new take on a new idea, whatever widget or app, et cetera, that you're creating. And so really you are all artists. You are creating something that has never been created before. And once I tapped into that sort of mindset of that we are all creatives, we are all creative artists, not maybe, again, I can't paint, I can't draw, I can't sing or you know, write a song, you know, that's not my thing, but I can do these endurance projects. That's my canvas that I paint on. And so when I started looking at through that lens, I started looking at these projects, like what have no one ever done in the world of endurance? You know, what has never been done? And, you know, I did this impossible first Antarctica crossing. And then just a few months ago, I did another world first where me and five other people, six total, were the first people ever to row a boat across the Drake Passage, which is the most kind of rough waterways in the world from the southern tip of South America to Antarctica. And there's a really important point in that I think applies to this conversation as well, which is, I'm sure you talk about this on podcasts, which is growth mindset. I got to believe that you're a big believer in growth mindset. And what I wanted to do next was, I've never rowed a boat anywhere, ever. I've never rowed a boat at summer camp. I've never rowed a boat like, you know, in college, nothing like that. And I said, can I apply what I've now learned in building expeditions and pushing my body and mind in unique ways to a completely new discipline? Can I overlay those two things with growth mindset? And so my what has now become, in that instance, what can I do that I have never done before, but overlays into expeditions and world records? And so to me, that is like, that's been my process of creating that, but actually asking that question. And then the why, of course, as you said, in that underlying purpose is, how can I share this with the world to have those ripple effects of positivity, inspiration, inspire others to realize that they can achieve their goals, whatever their what's are in their own lives.
That's amazing. And with that art analogy, it's interesting because, you know, sometimes I get a little bit more Burning Man woo-woo on people as well. But in essence, you know, imagine if you had this source of lessons, okay? And that's what you have. And then we have experiences that clear, you know, the connection to those lessons. And then when we learn the lesson, our expression, we have another corrosion or interference. When we express art, what you call art, whether you're an entrepreneur, you know, that builds a cooler, like this one kid, he's making $30 million. He built a cooler because he went to the IPA place and they had 16-ounce beers and everybody's beers were getting warm. So he figured out how to keep them cold, right?
Amazing.
That's an artist.
Hell yeah.
One that I like. And, but like, so you have this lessons over here, then you experience them. Now you have to tell your story. That's the art, right? Yeah. You tell your story by, you know, the crazy shit that you do or other people do. And I think lessons, the story, is the perfect way to illustrate how we can be expressive creatives. And when you're creating, by the way, that's like pursuing your potential. I always say when you're creating, you're connected to this great source of energy, light, and love. And this is a perfect time now that, you know, we have the club that we're doing, the calendar club. This is the time to be creative. Right, because a lot of times we get caught up into the family, into the business, into the speaking and the book writing and the activities, and we forget the most important part, that, hey man, I got to learn some lessons so I can perform at my highest potential. And what a great opportunity that we have, and to express to others so that hopefully we motivate them as well. What's one of the most inspirational things that you've heard or learned throughout your journey?
That's a great question. One of the most inspirational things that I've ever learned. God, there's been so many. I'm going to loop back on storytelling for a second, because I think storytelling is such a powerful medium you know, you can think about it in marketing, you can think about it in product, you can think about it in, you know, movie or film, but I've been inspired by so many different stories over time. That has what has inspired me. When I was a 7-year-old kid, I was, you know, watching the Barcelona Olympics, had no money when I was a kid, but I had a television set in my living room. My mom, you know, put this on the television and I watched this guy named Pablo Morales win the 100-meter butterfly. You know, it was amazing, one, because of NBC and television, et cetera. His story was shared with me in my living room. I couldn't be there in person. But then my mom looked at me and she said, she didn't say, oh, that's cool. That's this the other side of the world. She goes, oh, do you want to be in the Olympics one day? How old would you be, you know, when the peak age of swimming? And we brought out a calendar, literally, and she was like, "Would it be, you know, it's 1992 at the time. Is it going to be 2008? Is it going to be 2012?" And so my mother has been a huge source of inspiration of actually not just saying, you know, platitudes like you could do anything you set your mind to, but actually taking those next steps. You know, the little bit of my journey is also I was severely burned this far. I won't tell that whole story now, but I was told I would never walk again when I was 21 years old. My mother came to my hospital room. I was in Thailand on the other side of the world. And I said, my life as I know it's over. The doctor looked me in the eye and said, Colin, you will never walk again normally. And in that moment, my mom was full of fear. She was full of doubt. She was in Thailand when there's this rural hospital crying with the doctors pleading for good news. But she walked into my hospital room every single day with a smile on her face and air of positivity, daring me again to dream about the future. And in that moment, my canvas being sports, I said, Mom, I want to race a triathlon one day. And so she said to me, okay, now let's learn how to walk first. I'm in a wheelchair. She grabs a chair from our kitchen table, places it one step in front of my wheelchair. She goes, today your goal is to take your very first step. And so it's like, to me, one of the inspirational pieces of both of those stories I share, those are both coming from my mother, but it's looking at the massive goal. It's saying, do you want to make 7-year-old kid, do you want to make the Olympics one day? Or, you know, 22-year-old kid burned in a fire, made a stupid mistake in Thailand. You know, you got to learn how to walk again. Oh, you want to race a triathlon? Great. That might be 2 years down the road. The Olympic goal, that might be 20 years down the road. But what can we do today to learn one thing? And then tomorrow, step two. Then tomorrow, step three. You know, it's the classic, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, but actually setting that massive goal, but then actually zeroing in on the micro level of what is tomorrow, what's the next tomorrow, what's the next tomorrow. Once you start stacking those, you know this, on the entrepreneurial journey, you can't connect the dots going forwards, like you said, but you start connecting those little step after step after step, and then you can get the whole totality of the expression and reach that summit, whatever that is for you.
Yeah, the inspiration of the calendar club, right? Just take it one day at a time. Keep on, I always call it doubling. It, you know, even if it's not a day, if you just focus in on, I want two people to tell two people to tell two people. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm building brands, not just my own, right? My goal is 20-year plan. Like when I met Gary, I told him, I got a 20-year plan. He goes, you're 50, dude. I go, I know, I'll only be 70, you know, when my 20-year plan. But if I do two people a year that will tell two people they love David Meltzer, I'll have 2 million people when I'm 70.
That's amazing. 2
million people, you know, these positive ideas. And I actually can change the world just like Noah, man. Two people at a time telling two people at a time. All right, last thing that I'm curious about, and I'm glad I got the history of the calendar club. Quitting's a big pet peeve of mine, right? Like entrepreneurs, athletes, for whatever reason, I have been surrounded by people that, you know, are challenged with this idea that there's some sort of end in what they're doing and it's okay to quit. And I've always, you know, I think my superpower has been to be the little mule that I just don't have quit in me. And like, even when I can't get on Instagram live because the internet, they're making fun of me because I'm going back live like 5 times. And, you know, Evan Carmichael's like, only Dave Meltzer would keep on doing it until it works. You're darn right, because there's no quit in me and there's no quit in you in all the challenges and lessons that you've learned. Do you have a certain thing, a song, a person you think of, you know, when you're pushed to your limits, and I'm sure you were coming across the Antarctica or trying to walk when you're burned, you know, is there something that you do mindset wise to help make it to the next day?
There's two things that come to mind. I actually, obviously, when I was crossing Antarctica, there was times when I was running out of food, my hips were protruding, my ribs were protruding, like I was starving, frostbite starting on my face and nose, and like, you know, it was very dangerous to be out there the way I was, and obviously a lot of doubts. I don't care, I've been alone out there for almost 2 months, like doubts were in my mind. I've got this video of me looking into my GoPro, I was filming myself, and I look in and I go, I feel like I want to quit. I actually have a video of myself actually saying those words out loud, you know, like, and I was crying in my tent. And what happens when you cry and it's minus 25 out? Well, the tears, they freeze to your face. There's actually a chapter in my book called Frozen Tears. But I'm just like you, which I don't really have that quit in me. And there's two things. One is one of my favorite books. If you haven't read it, you should read it. The Alchemist, a great, great book. And there's an allegory in that book that says, he's crossing the desert in the book. And Antarctica is actually the largest desert in the world. People don't think of it. It goes, we often die of thirst when crossing the desert, just a few moments before seeing the palm trees on the horizon. And the allegory is you just take that, you know, you try to log into Instagram Live one more time. It might be the time that it works, man. Like, it might be that time. Right. Or you take one more step out there in your entrepreneurial journey. Like, you get this break. There's a whole chapter in my book, like, the entrepreneurial process. I couldn't raise the money for my first project. I'm supposed to leave a month later. I'm like a couple $100,000 short. Everyone's saying like, hey, give it up, delay it a year. And I go to a local gym that I'm training out of, and I bump into a guy who says he wants to help me. I have no idea who he is. Turns out to be the CEO of Nike. Like, you never know, the weirdest thing. But I just, like, one more day, I left my house. I told one more person my story and ended up being the person that helped, you know, sponsor, you know, a significant part of my project. And so, and the other thing, the other mantra, and this comes from my meditation practice, it's certainly not mine, it's been well used, but it's a mantra of this too shall pass. This too shall pass. In those hard moments, those moments of fear, those moments of doubt, it is not permanent. And I use the analogy of Antarctica. There will become a time in your own life, in your own journey, where you're sitting alone in your proverbial tent in Antarctica with a storm raging on the outside, whether it's in your mind, the market conditions, or whatever. But that storm cannot last forever. This too shall pass. And so I remind myself of that in those moments and always realize it's impermanent. If you can keep making that forward progress one way or the other, it'll pass and you can get to the other side.
That's awesome. Those are two of my favorites as well, especially today in accelerated times of uncertainty. People need to know that this too shall pass. And I always say the universe loves when you make room for what you want by working and working, working, you are making room for what you want. The universe always responds with a touch of favor. And all it takes is one touch of favor from the universe and your entire existence changes, regardless of, you know, I can't walk, I'm never gonna make it, I don't have any money. All it takes, one touch of favor, but that touch of favor will not come unless you've made room for it. And that's what I really love about you. That's why I love being part of, you know, your brethren of the Calendar Club.
Yeah, man.
Inspiration. I appreciate you taking the time to be on the Playbook and sharing your story.
I appreciate you. Thanks for having me. It'd be great to be here.
It's awesome, man. The great Colin O'Brady. Remember, join the Calendar Club, either run miles, yards, or inches. We don't care. Just do it every day and enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential like this great one right here. This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.